Job is important, and the stakes are high. I need to be demanding, and I need to be rewarded. On the other hand, the downside is it's hard to survive in that kind of environment. Now, here, I'm going to pass out the source sheet now. Sorry, pass these around. Pass these this way. Pass these out that way for someone young.
Well, should I purposely underestimate this? To take one for every two, I guess. We'll share?
If we need more, we can copy more.
We'll see how many we'll show you. There. Pass these around. There's more. Pass these out that way. Do you have over here? Take that there.
Now, the source sheet is only, the titles are all in English. The sources are in Hebrew, and that's why I asked you to bring a chumash along. Something is in chumash. You can see it with your chumash with English. Something is not chumash, I've translated.
Rabbi?
Yeah, question. Oh, not Rabbi, okay. Many rabbis. Good? Okay. Let's see, how many people need? Right, how many people still need? Rabbi will copy a couple more. While the page is going around, I want you to look at the refrain that we know by heart. We're going to say, which is the beginning. We have to understand, the goal of this year tonight is to understand what we're saying, what I like to joke around and say. I want to jump from Kavana to Havana. I'll explain the words. Kavana means you daven with Kavana. You can't translate the word. You measure it in speed, like how many per second. That's called Kavana. Kavana means... as opposed to my mind wandering over other things, like strange thoughts, you're paying attention to your davening. You might not understand a word, but you're davening with kavana.
Means extras.
Oh, we have extras even. People are sharing. Yeah. If there's extras, who needs?
Right in front of you, there's a few more.
Here, there's over there. Oh, there's lots. There's plenty. Okay. Who else needs? Who's sharing? Okay, now we have to share anymore. That's a good attribute to share, but over here. We're good? We need a couple more over here. We're good? Here, we'll get a couple. And anyone else need? Here, here we go. There we go. Alrighty.
So, Rabbi, does kavana mean concentration?
Kavana means kavana. How do you translate kavana? You can't there's certain words you can't translate.
Focus.
Kavana.
Comes from the word direction.
As havana means understanding. It's, I can daven with kavana and not understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We call that davening. Okay. And there's havana, which joking around, sometimes if you understand what you're saying, it takes away from your kavana. I'm saying that in jest, but there's something to it. If it makes too much sense, there's nothing magical about it anymore. But sometimes havana, understanding, can really help you help your kavana. Now, we say it like this. We make our opening statement. Kel melech yosheva kisa rachamim. What are we asking God to do? God, figuratively speaking, has two thrones he can sit on. He's got a double throne. He can sit on his throne of what? Of mercy, or he can sit on his throne of judgment. You follow? In other words, he can be demanding, he can be merciful. But what are we hoping for?
Mercy.
That he picks the mercy one. Why? Because that's what we need. When someone goes to the judge has to make a decision. The judge can be forgiving, and the judge can be demanding. Every judge knows that. Now, everyone watches TV shows knows that. Now, what if we ask God, Bochel avonotamo, he forgives the sins of his people. And he takes them, he treats each one as a one-time offense. That's what we're asking God to do. No. Then we say like this. El horeta lanu lamar shosasre. God, you instructed us. Hora'ah's instruction. You instructed us to say the 13. Uzchol lanu hayom brit shosasre. Remember today, what covenant? The covenant of the 13. What's the covenant of the 13? We're asking God, remember, I told you about covenant of the 10. What's this covenant of the 13? What are we referring to? It's what you guys call the 13 attributes. But why are they called a covenant? A covenant is a contract, isn't it? The contract is what we call the 10 Commandments. So what's this covenant of the 13? That's the goal of this year. There's a whole story about it in Chumash. It's a long story. It has to do with the golden calf. But what we want to do tonight is understand what is that covenant of the 13? What are we talking about in davening that we want God to remember? Kamo shodata la nabi kedem. The covenant that you what? That you told about to who? Who's Anav? Who's Anav Mikol Adam?
Moshe.
Anav in Sambo? That's Moshe Rabbeinu. We're poetically calling him Moshe Rabbeinu. The one that you told, or Lehodia. Lehodia to?
Instruct.
Inform. the one you inform or announce, the one you announce to the most humble one, to Moshe Rabbeinu, v'chem katuv, and says in your Torah, v'yered Hashem bananu, we start quoting from Chumash, which we're going to get to. Yeah? And then we say out loud, Hashem kerachon, then we quote the 13 attributes. Okay. Now, why do we say that? I'm going to bring the Gemara, which you were talking about, and the Gemara goes like this. But the statement you made, which is the classic I call party line, is based on this Talmudic statement. Listen carefully. First, we quote the pasuk in the Bible, "Vayavor Hashem apanav," which means God passed over whose face? Over Moshe's face. Moshe was hiding his face, and God passed over him. And "Vayikra," which means who called out? God or Moshe? Don't you remember saying this in davening? "Vayavor Hashem vayikra." Remember? Don't we say this over and over again? Vayavor Hashem Moshe vayikra. No. Who's calling out?
Moshe.
You said Moshe. But in Chumash, God's calling out. God's announced. God announced. It's God calling out his attributes. What? Yeah, that's it. So the rabbi's saying, God is announcing to Moshe Rabbeinu how to daven. You follow? You said the right thing, but you skipped a step. But don't feel bad. That's what everybody does. It's even taught that way. It means like this. Because it's right, but it's missing a step. It says like this. God declares his attributes of mercy. But Rabbi Yochanan says, I think it's Rabbi Yochanan. Yeah, Rabbi Yochanan says, he adds something to the words. The Torah says God declares these attributes. But Rabbi Yochanan says, if this pasuk wasn't written, it's impossible to say such a thing. And this is what Rabbi Yochanan learns from this verse. He says, if it wasn't written, you couldn't say it. And then he says something that's not written. He says like this. You understand? He says, if the Torah didn't write this, I couldn't say it. And then he says something that's not in the Torah. Because what's Vayavor Hashem apanav mean? God passed over Moshe and called out these midot. And he says, if this wasn't written, you couldn't say it. You couldn't say what? Listen to what he says. Ilumei mikra katuv. If it wasn't written, you couldn't say this. Yev shalom ro. Melameid. What does this teach us? Shnitatev HaKadosh Baruch Hu kishlech tzibor. I have to translate on the bottom. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrapped himself in a talis. Just like what? Just like the chazan. A shlech tzibor. V'hara lo l'moshe seder tfilah. And he instructed the Moshe Rabbeinu how to daven. Omar, he told Moshe Rabbeinu, "Kozman shisrael chotin." Whenever the Jewish people sin, "Yaasu lefanai." Then they say, "Yaasu lefanai." They should do in front of me this order, and I'm going to forgive them. And that's understood. It's understood as follows: like what you were saying, is that whenever you sin, what do Bnei Yisrael need to do? Say these attributes, and I'll forgive them, even though the first 10 were declared by God. So that's a wonderful statement, and that's exactly the source of why we say this at Slichot. Now, this Talmudic statement from that we just quoted from the Sechet Rosh Hashanah, okay, is exactly the reason for our Slichot services. That's the basis of it. But this statement is based on the Torah. And what we have to do now is understand what Rabbi Yochanan is talking about. Because what did Rabbi Yochanan do? He's not quoting the Bible, he's studying the Bible. And the Bible is a book you have to study, not just read. If you don't study it, you're not going to begin to understand what this message is. Now, so now we have to go back and see what is this that God declared? What's this declaration? So remember, we have now part C is the attributes, which that's why I didn't give out the page in the beginning, because I didn't want you to cheat. But if you look now in part C, I've highlighted all the attributes in the Ten Commandments that are not commandments. That's why they're statements. What we call the Ten Commandments are really a contract that defines our relationship with God. It's between us and God. It's between us and God. I'm your boss. You can't work for anybody else. Here's what happens if you disobey. Here's what happens if you do obey. And don't say my name. Don't carry my name. And don't represent me in vain. Don't do a lousy job because I won't forgive you. Shabbat, the symbol of the Brit. Teaching children, which is Jewish continuity, Jewish education. You understand why honoring parents is in the Ten Commandments? What's covenantal about honoring parents? You ever wonder? Yeah, it's not to kill, not to steal. Those are like cardinal sins. Doesn't every movie have the last half? Every TV show? Right? Find me a movie that doesn't have a murder, adultery, stealing, and lying.
What about
covenant? What?
Covenant
is too. Oh, that's so. Is it? You know what covenant is?
Yeah.
No, that's the first four of those. that every movie has? That's human society. Guys aren't happy with it, but that's the way people are. It's sad. But what's my proof? Every movie has them. That's what makes it. What makes life. But that's what makes life challenging. God doesn't want that to happen. Let's see. The first time that happened was with the flood. And what did God do? Remember the flood story? There's corruption everywhere. All those, the last four. And what did God decide to do? Start over again. Okay, didn't work. Start over again. But after the flood, what did God do after the flood? He made a covenant. He made a promise to do what? Or not to do what? I'm not going to start over again. Now he's stuck. That's stuck. I can't start over again. So what do I do if it goes bad again? If you can't start over again, what do you have to do? You have to fix it. What does God do to help fix things? He picks a nation to represent him, to teach people how to act properly. You follow? A model nation. You follow the model, how the flood's going to be the setup for the story? No, all the stories in Bereshit in the beginning are a foil, and they're a setup to appreciate what happens later on. Words, I need the first story to understand the next story. It's a little too complicated, but I hope you get the idea. That's why I gave you all the parallels before between Noah and Moshe Rabbeinu. Because we have a very similar story, but the stories relate to each other. Because now that God can't start over again, you know a medrash, don't you? That God, what was God doing before our creation? He was creating, destroying. Anyone remember that medrash? 976 times, I think? Who remembers that medrash? Somebody? It's there, isn't it? Did someone hear of it? The God was creating, destroying. 976 times. It's 1,000 minus 24 generations still Har Sinai. There's 24 generations to Har Sinai. That's what they're up to. The rabbis are up to. Those midrashim are awesome. You know where they're coming from. Now. But now the world that we're living in, we hope, is non-destructible. He won't do it again. But what's God going to do when things go bad? Or what's God going to do to help prevent things from going bad? Now, therefore, he chooses a nation, and an individual can represent God, but they come and go. A nation can be eternal. You follow? Why does God enter a relationship with a nation and not a person? Because this is long-term. It's called Netzach. Netzach Yisrael. God's relationship with the Jewish people is an eternal one. It's an eternal challenge. Will it work? It's up to us. But it's an eternal challenge. But that can work. A nation can be eternal. It doesn't have to be, but it can be. But in order for a nation to be eternal, what's necessary? What's critical in order for a nation to be eternal? They have to have children, but that's not enough. Is there a mitzvah to have children? Oh, you know that mitzvah. What's it called? Approval. Which Chazal understand only for the Jewish people, even though it's written right after the flood. Isn't that the first commandment after the flood? And the rabbis, because they know how to read Chumash, say it's about the Jewish people. It's with the seven Noachai laws, but the rabbis apply it only to us. Because that's what, they're onto something. Now, it's not enough to have children, because that's not going to help only having children. What else do you need to do?
Educate them.
You have to educate them to do what? To keep that tradition going. Don't you realize this eternal covenant will only work if we respect tradition. And half of Jewish law, all through Chumash, teach this to your children. Remember? In Shema, Vishinantan Levanecha V'dibartabam. The Seder. Half of Jewish law is about educating, financially for sure, isn't it? The cost of Jewish, but we spend on Jewish education? Whoa. But it's built, it's in our DNA. We spend more, we worry more about our children than ourselves. Now, but don't you realize that's respecting tradition. Honoring parents is not just a commandment on the children, it's a commandment on the parents to teach respect of tradition. You know, it's a parent's responsibility to bring up the next generation. And that's what education's about. Now, the last half, that's about behavior, the last commandment, coveting, that's special for us. Why? God commands everybody not to kill, not to steal, and everything. But because we're God's people, we can't even think about it. It's preventive medicine. You understand what I mean by preventive medicine? What's going to stop killing, stealing, adultery, and lying, and things like that? What's going to prevent it? Because no one begins with murder. Or how do those begin? It doesn't begin with lo tachmod, it begins with coveting. And that's a special law. In order for this covenant to be eternal, we have to educate a society that isn't always worrying, I want what someone else has. Now, isn't that a natural instinct to want what other people have? Just watch commercials. You know how commercials work. Someone told me a great line. I love this one. It says, how does the American economy work? It says, buy something you don't need with money you don't have for somebody you don't like. And that fuels the economy. No. Now, I got way too off track, but I hope you got my point. There's a contract. The contract makes sense. The contract comes with attributes of din, of attributes of judgment. Midat ha-din. And that's the Ten Commandments, and that explains the Ten Commandments. They're a contract. And God's hoping it's going to work. But in less than 40 days, what happens? Something goes wrong. Okay? Without going into the details, everyone knows something goes wrong. But this nation that God was hoping would be his nation, they get to a wild party, things go wrong, and they misunderstand what the rabbi was trying to teach them. The rabbi had a great idea. Remember, Aaron and the people totally misunderstood him. Turn into idol worship, you follow? You can take the greatest idea, and you can turn it into idol worship. It's called religion. Now, I jumped the gun. I want you to look at source D. I want to bring one other example. After the Ten Commandments, after the laws of Parshat Mishpatim, which follow, I'll just translate. You can look in your Chumash in English in source D. It's chapter 23, verses 20-23. God promises, I'm going to send a malach to guard you on the way to the land of Israel, to bring you there. And be careful and obey this malach, which seems to be Moshe Rabbeinu. Don't know why. Ki lo yisa lepishechem. I'm going to send a messenger, which logically would mean, talk about Moshe, because Moshe has been God's messenger till now. This messenger, you have to listen and obey what he says in my name. But his mandate is not just to teach you and lead you, he's not allowed to forgive you. Ki lo yisa lepishechem. Why? Because my name is in its midst. When he says something, it's so I said it. That's classic Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. Kim shomo tishma b'kolo, if you obey what he's saying, which is doing what I'm saying, then I'll help you defeat your enemies. Now, what happened in the meantime? God promises to the people, Moshe Rabbeinu, what happened to him? He goes up, doesn't come down. We're waiting and waiting and waiting. What conclusion do people reach? Moshe's not coming back. But they want to go into Israel. They need, where's the malach? They go to Aaron. We want a malach. Aaron has a nice idea with the ego, and he gets out of hand. Remember? Instead of representing God, it becomes a God, without going into all the details of whatever they do, the way they act there, it's not good. Now, listen what God says. But listen what God tells Moshe in Source E. This is famous, but Source E, you can follow in English in your Siddur, in your Chumash. After they sin with this golden calf, not just making it, but the party, and the wildness, and whatever goes wrong there, God tells Moshe as follows. Lech reid ki shichet amcha. On my last parallel. Where do we have the word the first time? Shichet. Remember Parshat Noach? Eloh todot Noach? Batishachet ha'aretz lifnei Hashem. Batimil ha'aretz chamas. Vaya Hashem et ha'aretz v'inei. Nishchata. Kishchit kol basar to kol ha'aretz. For those who remember, if not, it's not that important. The word shachet, that's exactly the first sin of mankind. And here we go again, the Jewish people doing the same thing. What's God tell Noah? Let me destroy them. Remember, pick you. And now God says, let me destroy them. Don't you see the parallel? I call it, wake up and smell the chumash. There's something going on here. Because again, the flood story sets the stage for God's relationship with Jewish people. So God says what? God says, I've seen the people, and they're stiff-necked. They're an am k'she oref. You know what that means? What's k'she oref mean? An oref is a neck. Stiff neck. Someone with a stiff neck, what can't they do? You can't change direction. So, it's not talking about a chiropractor that we need. It means you can't turn your head. It means you don't change your way. And what's God realized? This nation that I was hoping would change the direction. They were full of this Egyptian culture. Remember, Moshe had two jobs, to take the Jews out of Egypt and take Egypt out of the Jews? The first one worked, the second one didn't. It took 40 years. He couldn't break this culture. It's understandable also. God was hoping he could retrain them. It didn't work. It's like, like high school. You try your best, but kids are kids. Teenager's a teenager. Now, they're stiff-necked people. But now let me bayichar pibahem. Let me kindle. What's charunaf mean? Charunaf is quick to anger. Let me kindle my anger against them. Ba'achalein. Let me consume them to destroy them. And I'll make you a great nation, or people like you a great nation. And what's Moshe do? Moshe davens. Now, when Moshe davens, he stays the punishment, doesn't he? But God wants to make a nation out of Moshe Rabbeinu, only perfect people. I want a nation of goody-goodies, of only perfect kids. We wish we could have that. But the people are people. What's Moshe? Don't kill them. And why not kill them all? The whole reason, remember, what's Moshe's logic as a lawyer? The whole reason you chose us was to make you look good. What happens if you kill them now?
Everybody will hear.
And what do they say? Oh, you can't take care of your own people? So what do you gain by killing them? What a good lawyer. You understand davening? There's logic. There's, what do you gain by punishing? We say this at the end of Tachlin. Ezreinu Elokei Sheinu Adavar Kol Shemecha. Save us for what? For your reputation. Vatzileinu V'chaperach HaTotenu L'man Shemecha. For the sake of your name and reputation, save us. We don't deserve it, but what do you gain by killing us? We might deserve to be punished, but people won't realize that and they'll say, oh, their God is weak. No. So Moshe davened.
What will the goyim say?
What do you gain by punishing? The goyim say the God can't take care of them. Lamu yomra goyim. Where's that from? Lamu yomra ayeh Elohim. What's that word? Ibn Avarachim. But we're quoting a Navi. Why would the gods? Why would the other? What will you gain? Because other nations are going to say, where's their God? They won't believe in God. And at our whole point, we want to proclaim the concept of God. Now, Moshe davens. What's Moshe daven for? We're going to quote Moshe's prayer in source F now. The day after they found the troublemakers, they got rid of them, they punished a couple thousand, and the rest of the people who are still involved need forgiveness. So listen carefully to in source F to verse 30. Vayimi Mokhrat, the next day. Moshe told the people, "Atem chatatem chatat gdola. You did a terrible sin. Bata aleh Hashem ulay achapra b'chatatchem. I'm going to go up to God. Maybe I can get what? Kapara. We'll talk about the word kapara later on. We say atonement. I'm going to give a different explanation later on. But for right now, forgiveness, atonement is fine. Now, Moshe goes up and tells God, remember, you did a terrible sin. The people did a terrible sin. Remember, and now he asks them." If you do what? If you carry away their sin, what did God say before? God said, I won't forgive them. And now Moshe says, forgive them. And Moshe says, if you don't forgive them, what's he say? If you don't forgive them, what am I going to do? I'm not going to be in your book. Meaning, I'm not going to be. Yeah. No, you promised the forefathers that there'll be a nation. You didn't say that all of them, but from them they'll become a nation. Now, God wants to make a nation out of Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Moshe says, I'm not gonna agree. If you don't save them, I'm not gonna be your one man nation. And therefore, he puts God in a corner almost. Because God made we'll read about at the Akedah. God makes an oath with Avraham Avinu after the Akedah, that you're always my people. It means you always have that challenge. If it'll work, it's up to you. But I'm never going to break the covenant. I call it a Catholic marriage. Understand what I mean? Judaism is a Catholic marriage with God. We're always his people. There's no possibility of divorce. Who disagrees with that explanation? Anyone Catholic? What do they say? The Catholics say that God's relationship with the Jewish people is a Protestant marriage. And he divorced us. You understand? You understand what happens? I'm just using it to explain religion. They believe in our Bible, but they said God broke up. We broke our covenant, and they called he made a new covenant. What they call that? You've heard of that book?
The New Testament.
It's a new. In Hebrew means it's a new covenant.
Yeah,
it's a Brit HaKadoshah. That's exactly our argument with Christianity. Are we still? Is God choosing the Jewish people in the eternal covenant? And we held it is because God can't. It's a Catholic marriage. Do you understand the analogy? But it doesn't mean it's always going to work, but it means it's always our challenge. And they hold, we tried once, twice, and we have to change the whole plan. It's like the third, like the next, remember? Another flood. I don't want to, hope I didn't convert anybody. Better be careful. But yeah, I'm just using it to explain how because that theme, that we're eternally God's people, no matter how bad we are, that's core to prayer. That understanding, that havanah, is core to how we daven. And how we know that the solution to our problems is going to be by being a better people to God. Not yes he will, but go yes he can. Understand the difference? As opposed to no he never can, but yes he can, not yes he will. But knowing that he can, but it depends on us. We'll see that's the essence of prayer. Now, Moshe asked God to do that. And this is what Moshe says. I mean what God says. Pasuk, it sounds so good. What's God say? Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Be'emar Hashem Moshe. Mi asher chatalim chanem sifri. Don't tell me who to erase. God doesn't answer, but he gives a different solution, which is really strange. Listen carefully. We're in verse 34, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, at the end of it. Bata lech nechei et ha'am el asher dibarti lach. Listen carefully. God tells Moshe Rabbeinu after his prayer, I'm not going to forgive them. They sin, they have to be punished. But I can't kill them right away because you're right, it'll be a desecration of God's name. So he says as follows, go lead the people, where? Nechei here doesn't mean comfort, it means lead them. V'talech nechei etam el asher dibarti lach. Go lead the people where? To the land of Israel. I'm going to send a malach in front of you. Hinei malachi elech lefanecha. Uvriyom pakti upakati lech bechatatam. I'm going to punish them. I'm not forgiving them. But I'm not going to punish them right away. That's what a Kelkana would do. When am I going to punish them? I like to joke around. I'll get those ruby slippers. You guys are my age. Where's that from? I'll get those ruby slippers. I'll get. I can't get you right now. No, you got something, but I'll get you sooner or later. When? I'll get you. Means I'm not forgiving you. I call it the first credit card. Chazal, not me. Chazal says it's the first credit card, don't they? Chazal says every generation pays in increments. You've heard that, Midrash? Look at that. Is there a Midrash like that? That every generation, instead of one generation paying the price, God pays every generation to pay a little bit from Chet Ha'egel. At this stage, at least. Ebenezer says something much deeper. He says, on this verse, Ebenezer, uvyom pakti upakadati, as opposed to pokade right away, but I'll get you, he says, when is God going to judge you? He says four words. He says, mi Rosh Hashanah le Rosh Hashanah. I'm going to judge you every year on Rosh Hashanah. Oh. Who's judged on Rosh Hashanah? You ever read your Machzor? Who does God judge on Rosh Hashanah? What people are judged on Rosh Hashanah? What?
Everyone.
All mankind. Why? There's a natural reason for that. Because nature, in its cycles, it has to do with the rainy season, but Midat Adin is universal. God judges all nations. We know that from Chumash. He doesn't only look over us, he looks over everyone. Everyone's judged. But there's a difference between getting judged every day and being like obsessed. I think that's the word. I know it's being judged every single day as opposed to a final once a year. Imagine being in a class where every single day there's a quiz. And if you fail the quiz, you're out of the course. As opposed to, you miss a final at the end of the year, so I can miss a couple weeks, I can fail a quiz or two, but I can make up for it later on. A makeup assignment. You understand what I mean? I'm using the classroom example. Now, basically what God is saying is, you're downgraded. I wanted you to be my nation. I want you to be upgraded. But because you're my nation, I'm going to be very demanding on you, very strict. Now what are you? You're like everybody else. You're back in economy class. You understand? You're back. You're not special anymore. Because, was the contract broken or not?
It was broken.
Sure it was broken. What symbolized the contract being broken? Who broke the contract?
Moshe broke it.
Remember? What's the meaning of breaking the luchot? Because according to this contract, what did this contract say? That if you sin, I punish you immediately. Tell Kana. How does Moshe stop the punishment? You see a contract? Now, tell me the Medrash that says exactly what I said. Right? Who knows the Medrash that says exactly what I said, but in Hebrew? Haluchot asher shibarta. No one remembers? Chazal say, asher shibarta, itro lo yiddishin, yishakoach asher dibarta. That's actually Hebrew, not Yiddish. Yisharkochacha asher shibarta. Yeshkoyach, you know Yeshkoyach. You've heard the word. What's Yeshkoyach mean? Yeshkoyach, remember? You can't translate Yeshkoyach. What's it mean? You've heard the word Yeshkoyach?
You did good.
Yeshkoyach. It's one word in, right? It's actually two words in Hebrew. Yeshkoyach. You did the good thing. God said to Moshe, it's good you broke them. You saved the day. So that's Yeshkoyach Asher Shibarta. So got it? So Moshe saves the people by breaking the contract. But what's the downside if the contract's broken? What? If the contract's broken, what's that mean?
There's no contract.
And therefore, what are we out of? Why is there no contract?
We're also out of mercy.
We're out of a job also. Now, you understand, if you're representing God, you have to be your best. If the contract's broken, it means you lost your job. So I'm not going to be strict because I don't have to be strict because you're not working for it anymore. Go play cards all day. Understand? You understand? No. And that's I call this is a downgrade. Now, God's going to explain this in Source G. It's the next chapter. Listen carefully what God explains. Go take, you get out of here. To where? This most amazing thing. What's their punishment? God says, make Aliyah. That's what God says. God says, I'm not going to forgive them, but what's your punishment? Go to Israel. Isn't that awesome? It's right here. God tells me, I made a promise to your forefathers. Remember, God made a brit with our forefathers that can't be broken. But what did God promise? Not a goy kadosh, a goy gadol. If you read Breshit, I'll make you a great nation. I'll give you a land. I made a contract. My lawyer will take care of it. You want your land? You can have your land. I promised you to be a nation in the land. You can have it. But not a goy kadosh. You follow? A goy gadol is a great nation. God said, I promised you a land. I promised you, you can have a land. But you're not working for me anymore. I'm not going to dwell there. You understand what God's saying? Because what will happen if I come and dwell with you? You can't live, I'll have to punish you. It won't work. So listen to what God says. Let's go up to the land of Shur Nishvat Ram Yitzhak Yaakov, the one I promised, and I'll keep Brit Avot. Brit Avot, God is sworn to. Brit Sinai is broken. You understand the two Britot? Mm-hmm. The first Brit with the Avot, with our forefathers, is the land of Israel being a nation in the land of Israel. Brit Sinai is being a nation representing God in the land of Israel. Obviously, they're related, because the first I have to be a Goy Gadol to become a Goy Kadosh. But God's saying, I promise a Goy Gadol, but Goy Kadosh can break, because it makes sense. If you can't do a good job, you're fired. So God says, go to the land, and I'm going to send a malach, a lower level malach, to bring you. Why? And what I've highlighted. Ki lo ele bikirbacha, ki am ksherof ata, penacha chabadara. I'll explain. This red pasuk gimel, right? I'm not going to go with you. You follow? You can have your land, but who's not coming with you? I'm not coming with you to the land. Why? Because what are you? You're a stiff-necked people. You can't change. And what will happen if I come with you? I'll eat you up. You follow? In modern-day language, we can't live in the same room together. Because if we room together, I'll kill you. You snore, whatever it is. And I can't. We can't be together. You irritate me. And therefore, the only way you can survive is if I'm out of here. And God says, I'm leaving. You want your land, you can have it, but I'm not going to be in that land. Understand? Now, I call this Herzl's dream come true. You've heard of Theodore Herzl? Why is this Herzl's dream come true? Why? Because I have the land of Israel. Right? A people. Borders, a land, maybe even Passover. To remember that God took us out of Egypt. But know what? No Kedusha. Right? Would there be a Mishkan? Would there be Aliyah L'Regel? If there's no Mishkan?
No.
Would there be Kashrut?
No
Kedusha. Or no Sefer Vayikra. Now you understand Sefer Vayikra? Do you follow? What does it mean we have a Mishkan? That means God dwells, God has an apartment in our house. He has a room set aside for himself, which represents the fact that God feels comfortable with us. That's the idea of Shekhinah. We're acting in a way, God can identify himself with his people. If the people are obnoxious and haughty and sinning and coveting, etc., God can't associate himself with that people. So if the people act that way, what's God have to do? I'm out of here. Either he leaves or we leave. You follow? So the first plan was, God says, okay, I'm leaving. You can have your land, I'm leaving. Guess what happens? Now that we go back together, what happens when we're bad? He kicks us out. Remember, that's the idea. We read that last week, the Tochacha. You follow the concept? We're a nation representing God. If our behavior is not up to that, there's consequences. That's part of the brief. Now, God was suggesting forget the whole plan. And Moshe demands, no. We want to be your people. So God says, you want your land, but I promise you can have your land, but I'm not coming with you. Because if I come with you, I'll kill you. Moshe could have said yes. In fact, what happens next in Pasuk Zayin? I'm sorry we didn't read Pasuk Zayin. Moshe takes the tent, the Ohel Moed, which isn't the Mishkan, that's Moshe's tent of meeting. He moves it outside the camp far away. And if God's going to talk to Moshe now, where do they meet? Where? Outside the camp. Because why can't God come into the camp? He can't associate himself with the people. You follow? It's called Galut. Moshe Rabbeinu, he's okay. And God will still talk to Moshe Rabbeinu, but where? Outside the camp. Got the setup? Now, had Moshe listened and been obedient, like Noah, you follow? What would have happened next? Moshe would have led them to Israel, and we would be a Jewish people, but again, Herzl's dream come true. But Moshe, what's Moshe do? He says no.
He wants it all.
Right? He wants it all. Right? But he's a spoiled. Why? He wants the carrot, whatever it is. There's a saying for this. I want the job, and I don't want to be responsible. I want to be able to get away with sinning. We're going to have what I call, what you call, a catch-22, where Moshe's demanding. Moshe says like this. You want to keep Brit Avot. You want to keep the land. But he's saying, the whole reason you promised the land to Avram Avinu was in order to become a nation. Read Sefer Bereshit. There's a goal. God wants a nation to work for him. What's the point of Brit Avot without Brit Sinai? You understand what I'm getting at? Brit Avot is having the land and the people. Brit Sinai is being a holy nation representing God. Moshe is saying, what's the point of Brit Avot without Brit Sinai? God says, I agree. But if I come back and dwell with you, what'll happen? You'll be dead. But Moshe says, if you don't come and dwell with us, what's the point of anything? So we're in an impasse. You follow? Because if God comes back and is with the people, what'll happen? If God reinstates the covenant, what'll happen?
He'll kill us.
If God doesn't reinstate the covenant, what happens? We're not his people. So what's the point of anything? Got it? So we're in an impasse. Like, you ever play Monopoly? And no one's winning? You follow?
Yeah.
No, you're stuck. So you got to change the rules, don't you?
Yeah.
You do, like, or something with... You follow? When now we need a lawyer. We have... Now, we need a new contract, don't we? Now you understand this year? We need a new contract. What are we going to call that new contract? Brit? What's the story? No. What are the parameters of this new contract? The impossible. The contract is about a nation representing God. And we want that contract. We want to be a nation representing God. And we want to be his people. But what can't we live up to? We can't live up to demands because we're human. We sin. But we're asking God, let us be your people. And we know we deserve immediate punishment, but don't punish us immediately. So, or let us get away with murder. Or hypocrisy, whatever you want to call it. You follow? We so much want to work for you, just be a little more forgiving. You understand the new relationship? It's no longer a master-servant relationship, it's going to be a parent-child relationship. Yeah? Or the Kabbalists will turn it into a, or the prophets into a husband-wife relationship. You'll say this in Rosh Hashanah, remember? Im kabanim, im kavadim? When we say Rosh Hashanah, it's either way. Forgive us as a master, or forgive us as a parent. So Moshe is going to daven now and listen to his prayer. He says as follows. Moshe tells God, Re'eh, I want you to understand. This gets complicated. But his punchline, Moshe tells God, Re'eh kiamcho ha'goy hazeh. Moshe tells God, I want you to realize they're your nation. They're not my nation. They're your nation. Don't throw them on me. Don't say, God tells Moshe, you take them. I don't want them. Moshe says, don't throw them on me. They're your people. You chose them. Stay with them. But God says, I have to punish you. And Moshe says, you can't. You follow? And Moshe demands, look at the next line. Moshe says, Yimein panecho chim, in verse 15. Pasuk tepa. If you're not coming with us, don't bring us to the land of Israel. And how will I know that I found ki? Umadevo ki matzati chem b'necha, ani v'amecha? What's Moshe asking for? Matzah chem b'nei Hashem? Just like who? Just like Noach? Halo b'lech chivadu? Come with us, not just with us. V'niflinu ani v'amcha, mikol ha'mashav p'nei adama. What's Moshe demanding? You be with the whole nation. Now watch what happens. What's God's answer? We quote this all the time in davening, and this is Rabbi Yochanan. Listen carefully. And we're in Ayin now. Pasuk Yedzayin in chapter 33. Pasuk Yedzayin. Ve'emar Hashem el Moshe, gam et ha'davar asher dibarta aseh, ki matzatechem be'nai ve'edacha v'shem. God says, I'm going to listen to you. And Moshe wants to know how it's going to work. Show me your kavod, how you're going. And then Pasuk Yotet, Vayomer. God explains to Moshe now, Rabbeinu, the solution. How am I going to solve the problem of, on the one hand, being God's nation, but on the other hand, not getting immediate punishment? This is what God tells Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayomer. Ani avir kol tevi apanecha. Moshe says, we're going to go, we're going to have a ceremony. And God says, I'm going to pass over, I'm going to start over again. A virtual flood, a theoretical one. I'm going to pass over you. V'karati b'shem Hashem l'fanecha. Who's talking? God. God says, I'm going to declare my name, the Tetragrammaton, Yud Kei Vav Kei. I'm going to declare my name in front of you. I'm going to pass over you in a ceremony. I'm going to pass over you with all my goodness. And I'm going to declare my name. And after doing so, what's going to happen? V'chanoti et asher achon, v'chamti et asher arachem. What am I going to do? I'm going to be compassionate to who I'm compassionate to, and forgiving to who I'm forgiving. Now, is God promising, listen carefully, is God promising automatic forgiveness no matter what time you sin? What is it now? Not yes he will, but yes he can. That's key. You follow? as opposed to beforehand is
no, he won't.
Before, there's no forgiveness. This is the punishment. If you sin, you're punished. We'll call it abimin, a Republican. You know, and you know better than I do. I'm not saying who's right, who's wrong. Remember, Yonah was a Republican. You know the story of Yonah? You know Yonah and the whale.
Yeah.
Wasn't he a Republican? What was he against? He was against tshuva, wasn't he?
Yeah.
God says, get the people of Nineveh to do tshuva. He says, I don't believe in it. It's a lousy system. Someone sins, he gets to be punished. He believes in God, he runs away from his job. He doesn't like it. He's a Republican. That's a Democrat. But, and that's why I choose both Democrats. I'm going to get in trouble, aren't I? And this using it to explain the story of Yonah. And why we read it on Yom Kippur, don't you follow? Because I feel if God's like Yonah. We want God to be, we want to be Republican. We want God to be. You understand that, the concept behind it? It's not right or wrong. It says, what do I do with a 17-year-old who robs a 7-Eleven? Do I put him in jail for life or kill him in an electric chair because he killed somebody? Or do I put him in a three-star hotel and give him a free education? Because why did he murder? Because it's our fault. It's society's fault. You follow? Did I explain? Isn't that this? It's not who's right and who's wrong. It's different ways of looking at society and common responsibility. Now, how do we get to all that? Listen carefully. God says as follows. In this new relationship, you can work for me again. And beforehand, which was the ideal, there's no room for mistakes. Now, in the new relationship, I'm willing to consider forgiveness. Not yes, I will, but yes, I can. I can forgive. Before, I couldn't forgive. Now, I can forgive. V'achronoti et asher achon. Look in Rashi on the spot. What's he say? Someone have Rashi there? Look in Rashi in your Chumash. I'll show you how Rashi's right on the mark here. We're in chapter 33, verse 19. 33:19. Better be there. 33:19. Yeah, louder. Just one person's enough. Et asher achon.
Et asher achon.
That whenever I want to do, continue. Does he explain that one also? Did he say the Shavim Lefanai? Used to be there.
Continues.
Yeah, continues, yeah? Wait, what page is it? Et Asher Achon?
506.
What, 406?
506.
Oh, 506. Okay, sorry about that. 506. You used to be in Rashi. 1 second. Better be there. Yotet. Sheretzelachon v'nevdei sheret. When? Ad kan lo yftichu ela. I'm looking. That was a different parsha. I'm sorry. Yeah. Whenever I want to, I will. Not yes, I will, but yes, I can. When I want to. And there's another passage, et asherchon, for those who do tshuva in front of me. Now, listen to the logic of it. What's God saying now? Yes, I can be forgiving. Now, that needs a new contract, doesn't it? Because what was written in the original contract? No forgiveness. So what's God have to do now? We need a new contract. Because what happened to the first contract? Someone broke it. I have to make a new contract, better known as the second luchot. So what's Moshe do? Just like the last time. Moshe goes up. Don't we read this on the fast day in J? Mm-hmm. But listen carefully. What's going to be written on the new contract? Surprise, surprise.
Same contract.
The exact same words. Listen, this is amazing. Because we're going to make a new contract. In the written contract, what's written? The exact same words. Why? Why? Because that's what it should be. But as God gives over the new contract to Moshe Rabbeinu, the exact same contract, this time Moshe carves the stones, but it's the same, the words are the same. As Moshe receives this new contract from God and passes over to him, God declares the First Amendment. And what's he say? Even though this contract says what? I'm a Kelkana. What do you need to know behind this thing? I'm also what? You understand? And even though this contract says, Lo yisal peshechem, what I'm saying? No seavon b'fesha. You follow? Mm-hmm. And we're going to find all of God's attributes in the first contract, which still remain a possibility, are now going to have a clause, I call an amendment, that even though it says in the contract the way things should be, that this is the rule, you should know there's a back door. And there's a possibility that God can be forgiving as well. And what are we going to call this? Brit Shoshesra. Now let's read it in Chumash. And this is what Rabbi Yochanan said. That this is, you understand this is the impossible? That's what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. You're getting a job and you're getting a relationship you're not deserving of. You're in a lopsided relationship. Min adin. Ideally, you shouldn't get, you're not deserving of mercy. Because your job is so important, you should be perfect. But God is willing to, because you want the job so much, and you so much want to be God's people, I'm willing to give you a second chance. And I'm willing to be forgiving. So let's read in Chumash, and then we're done. Okay. God passes, oh, we come back, almost. What God says as follows. God says, Pasuk Dalet, we know this from every fast day. We're in J, but near Chumash, chapter 34, verse 4. Pasuk Dalet. Lamed Dalet Dalet. Moshe carves new stones just like the first one. Vashkei Moshe b'boker. Moshe goes up the mountain and he goes to Har Sinai just like God commanded him, and he takes the two luchot with him. Vayir Hashem banan. God comes now down to meet Moshe Rabbeinu just like at Har Sinai. Vayitzev Mosham. Vayikra b'shem Hashem. What does God do? Like he said, he would remember. What did God promise? Vayavor Hashem apanav. He look back in source I. Right above, in Pasuk Yutet. What did God promise? Ani aver kol tivi apanecha, v'krati v'shem Hashem lefanecha. That's what God's going to do. And now God fulfills his promise. And God explained to Moshe what he's going to do, and now he does it. What happens? Pasuk Vav, like God promised, v'avor Hashem apanav. You understand why? What did God promise? Ani aver kol tivi apanecha. V'avor Hashem apanav. And God gives Moshe Rabbeinu the new luchot that he just wrote down. God passes over him. And what does God call out? God calls out his new attributes. What are they? Hashem, Hashem, now what is he? Kavrachum lechanun, as opposed to Kelkana. Erechapayim, Rav Chesi, follow. Now, look on the back page. It's got to be good newspaper. I know the back page always has the good stuff. You see the back page, which says Din Terachamim? Look at the left column again. But we had, I want to review from the first luchot. We had Hashem as a Kelkana. You see the back page? This one here. On the left column, beforehand, review. God was a Kelkana, he was Poked Avon. Remember? Osa Chesed Lo Havai. And God said, Lo Yenake, at Asher. And God said, Lo Yishal Bishachem, and he had Charonaf. Remember those? Mm-hmm. All the Midot, all the attributes of Din, of judgment, that were with the first covenant, are now going to flip around. And what does God declare? Hashem, Hashem, what is he now? Kel Rachun V'Chanun, as opposed to, see the lines? Instead of a kalda, okay? Erech HaPayim is supposed to? Erech means slow to anger. This is what happened. Chesed, what was Chesed beforehand? Beforehand, God was Oseh Chesed, which means, what's Oseh Chesed mean? He does, that's to Lo Havai, Lo Shomim Mitzvotai. Now Chesed got Smicha. I'm joking. Okay? What's Rav Chesed mean? Rav Chesed doesn't mean Rabbi Chesed. Rav Chesed means? An abundance of chesed, which is more than people deserve. But there's a price we pay for that. Sometimes God gives chesed for people who don't deserve. It's called Rasha V'Tovo. And I mean, someone who's evil, but God's still good to them. But what's the price you pay? Conservation of chesed. He's also notzer chesed. What's that mean, notzer chesed? No, not that. He holds it back. Linsor is to hold back. Atzor is to stop, but means to hold back. Like Shmini Atzeret, stay back one more day. He's Rav Chesed and Otzer Chesed. Now, if you know, if I need calculus to explain this, right? In theory, Chesed should be either you deserve or don't deserve. Now, on the integral of time, from zero to infinity, you follow? Chesed will equal. At any given moment, it looks like this relationship is not emet. It's not true. Because there are evil people who get Chesed, and righteous people don't get Chesed. No. So what balance is this? What word? Rav Chesed ve'emet. You follow? Because God's now Rav Chesed, he has to balance it with emet. Now, where's emet here? You understand? You don't know calculus. You understand? You don't remember integrals? Anybody?
No.
Now you understand what I mean? Over from all time, from the beginning of time to the end, right? You have the Chesed will equal emet, but not at any given moment. Only.
Ah,
In words, over the integral of time, it'll balance itself out. In other words, God is emet. We don't. It doesn't appear to be emet to us because we only see an instant. We're taking a snapshot. But over the length of time, you only see God's emet over the length of time. If you understood, fine. If not, it's not so important. No. But you follow what's happening?
It's like when your kid complains they didn't get something, and you say, so-and-so got this time.
You'll get it next time. Right. Over time, you'll see. Everyone wants census right away. But there's a price to pay for that. You understand the price we're paying for midat rachamim? There's a price to pay for that. You get rachamim, but you don't see emet. Beforehand, God was lo yisal b'yishechem. What's he now? Now he's nosei abon b'feshava. He carries away sin. Before God said lo yinakeh, now it's v'nakeh lo yinakeh. Surely He will clean away sin. And beforehand, poked avon, God punished you, your children, and your grandchildren. Now God says the opposite. I'm going to hold up punishment up to four generations. I'll let you get away once, twice, three. All the Nevi'im talking about this. But if you don't learn your lesson, it was one generation, two, three. God says after four times, the same thing happens in the family over and over again. God blows the whistle, and that's, I can't be forgiven. You follow the idea? God's saying that I'm willing to be forgiving. I'm not always forgiving, but I can't be forgiving. No.
What's the lo yinakeh on the right side?
What? We said like this. God says, v'nakeh lo yinakeh. There's two ways to read it. Here's Rashi. I'm sorry. There's Rashi I'm looking for. I'm sorry. That was my mistake. Now look in Rashi. I thought, I'm losing my head. Okay. I knew Rashi said this. Better be this time. If not, I'm in trouble. What pasuk is that? Nakeh lo yinakeh? That's 34. 34.7. Look in 34.7. 34.7. V'nakeh lo yinakeh. Better be there. Okay. Yeah. Here. He brings the medrash. Okay. V'nakeh lo yinakeh. Lefi pshuto mashma she'eno mevater alavon legamrei. El nifram menu matmat. He doesn't forget, but he pays. But he says, then he brings the medrash. Okay. Who does he forgive? People who do tshuva. So I want to explain the idea. This is the core of tshuva. Listen. If you have what's called havana, what's havana mean? Understanding. If you have understanding. And you know, not yes he will, but yes he can. If you know God has two thrones, he can act din, he can act rachamim. And you say, God, please, please sit on the throne of rachamim. You have to give God a reason. You have to give it's called character witnesses. In a court system. I need to give God a reason. Why is it in God's interest to give me another chance? I know, yes, he can, but not that yes, he will. Now, if you're the boss, and you have a worker that really wants a job, but he messes up really bad, what does the boss have to realize? What makes it worthwhile for the boss to rehire him, to give him another chance? What does the boss have to realize? That he recognizes what he did wrong. In other words, he realized what he did wrong, and he wants to do better. And he'll try his best next time. You follow the analogy of a boss in a factory? If I have a worker who's messing up, but he really wants to keep his job, and he really wants to do a good job, but he's human, he makes mistakes. When I'm reviewing his case, do I fire him or not? What do I say? Right? If he can show me he understands what he did wrong, and he truly has remorse what he did wrong, and I know he's going to try his best to do better next time, I'll give him another chance. But if he's just mumbling, I know he's going to be the... if it's just lip service, I'm going to fire him. You follow the idea? No. If this concept is understood, what will the person do? If I know yes, he can, not yes, he will, but I have to give God a reason, when you understand this relationship, what's that going to cause? Tshuva. Now you understand slichot? The prayer works in two stages. When you understand our relationship with God and how it works, and how God's attributes of mercy, known as Brit Shlosesre. This is a covenant of the 13 attributes, which is yes, he can, not yes, he will. But I know that God can, but he can also be harsh. I have to give God a reason. And what do? First, I remind myself of that relationship, and over and over again. But if I really internalize that understanding, that'll motivate me, right, to give God a good reason that I'll be better next time. And isn't that exactly tshuva? We have tefillah, we have tshuva, and then already actions of tztacha. That can mavir ro'adiron, that's from Nesan Atoka. That's the Jewish, that's why I call the essence of prayer. You see the difference between a magic incantation and the essence of prayer? And that's what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. Now, when I take that rabbinic statement without that understanding, that say these magic words and you're forgiven, that's Harry Potter. That doesn't make it, that's not Judaism. It can't be. It's not magic words. But if I understand what Chumash is talking about, and what Rabbi Yochanan is saying is the essence of prayer. You follow? What's God promising? If you're really sincere, I'll be forgiving. Because there's no reason why I shouldn't be forgiving. Because the whole purpose of the relationship is I want good workers. So if this relationship could lead to a refined relationship, and that tshuva will lead to better behavior, then there's a good reason for God to be forgiving. Now, one last thing. We're done. You follow what I did? I hope it makes sense now. I have 10 minutes? No, because the good part's coming up. I mean, the good part. I mean, the main part's over, the good part's coming up. Now, looking back to source Cana. The story's not over yet. God declares his new midot, his new attributes. Now, what did Moshe pray for? Did Moshe pray for new attributes? What did Moshe pray for when this all started? God says, I'm not coming with you. Remember? God says, I'm not coming with you. Go to the land without me. And what's Moshe demand? Come with us. You can't be. You gotta come with us. You can't leave us alone. And Moshe says, I'll come with you. I'll kill you. Moshe says, you gotta come with us. Okay, new breed. Now that God changed the rules, and he can't be forgiving, what's Moshe want?
Forgiveness.
No, halavai. I mean, halavai. Moshe wants more than forgiveness. He wants God to be with us. Isn't that awesome? You follow the relationship now?
Now he can be in the same room with us.
Now we can room together. God will use what do you call those earmuffs? So you won't hear snoring. what do you call it? Earplugs? No, earplugs. Earplugs, yeah. You understand that? I have too many jokes. It's not good. You understand what I mean? We can be in the same room together even though we're annoying. No. Listen what happened. By Meher Moshe. Moshe hears this, and he bows down. By Yomer. Im na matzatichem beinecha. Going back to Noach again. What's he pray for? Not forgive us, but what? Yelech na Hashem bekirbeinu. Come with us. Ki am k'shir avata means what? It can be because. It wouldn't make any sense. Key is a key word. It can mean several things based on context. Even though. Before, it's such beautiful wordplay. Because what did God say before? That's in the small print below him. God said before, right? God says, I'm not going to go with you because you're an Amk Sheorah. God says, I'm not coming with you to the land of Israel because you're an Amk Sheorah. And now Moshe says, come with us even though we're an Amk Sheorah. Understand what Moshe is saying? Yes. Now that you've changed your rules of engagement, of the relationship, now that you've declared your new midot that yes, you can be forgiving, now will you come with us? Now can we room together? And what's God's answer? What we call Rishos Yisrael. Got it? Now, if you follow Chumash, now you follow Chazal. What's God's answer? Does God come back right away or not? Does God come back right after this event? What day was this? What day was this in Chumash? You know what day this was? What day does Moshe come down with the second? Let's do a little math. Okay? The second, let's do a little quick math. Math we can do? Okay. What day did Moshe receive the Torah? What day was it? On Shavuot. What's the Hebrew day? Sixth or seventh of, what month is that? Of the third month of Sivan. He's up for 40 days, 40 nights, like Noah, the flood. What day does he come down? The 17th of Tammuz. Isn't it? Do the cheshbon, right? Do the math, right? 17th of Tammuz comes down, the 17th of the fourth month, it's 40 days there. He goes back up on the 18th, and he prays for 40 days to get forgiveness. Okay, that's the middle 40 days. That's over the last day of Av. Rosh Chodesh Elul, he goes up for the third 40 days to get the second luchot. Pesachah is on Rosh Chodesh Elul, which is a Jewish calendar, isn't it? 40 days later is, you understand Yom Kippur? So what day does Moshe receive this forgiveness? On what day does God declare his new relationship? On Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur is when God declares, you know what? I'm willing to make a new covenant. And I'm willing to be forgiving. And on the anniversary of that day, what holiday we celebrate? Yom Kippur. You understand the holiday? It's the anniversary of what? Of the second Luchot. And that's what Yom Kippur. What did we do? When Moshe goes up, what did he do? For all 40 years. What, did Moshe eat or drink? Didn't Moshe maim lo shetiti, lechem lo chatim maim lo shetiti? What did we do? We're doing the same thing. We're reliving. Understand what Yom Kippur is? And what did we talk about all day at Yom Kippur? God's midot of rachamim. So we now, in Chumash, what's God's answer?
God says, what's God say? I'm willing to come back, but what? Not so fast. I'm willing to be forgiving. You need to prove to me you want me back. Not so fast. Prove to me you're going to be a better child. Prove to me you can follow instructions. Prove to me you're not going to turn a koto into a avodah zarah. Right? Prove to me. What do you have to do? But build me a house. What's God's answer? Vasuli mikdash. Finish it for me. Vashachanti. Not betocho. Betocham. Now it makes sense. God doesn't need a place to live. We need to make a symbol to show God we want him with us. You see the meaning of the Mishkan? The Tocham is not in the Mishkan with the people. Because where was God till now? When they sin, Moshe went with his tent outside the camp. There was an Ohamot outside the camp. And what's gonna happen when it's over? We're going to build a Mishkan, and the Shekinah is going to come into the camp. That's going to be, you know what story that is? That's Yom HaShemini. And that's the day, that's Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The next day, when the Mishkan is finally built and God's Shekinah returns. That's the rest of Chumash. I mean, that's the story of the Chumash. Now, what does God need to see for 6 months? We have to work on the Mishkan. Can you follow instructions? Can you listen? Can you behave? It's rehab. Now, we have a beautiful minhag, right? If God's answer after Yom Kippur is, build me a Mishkan, what do we do right after Yom Kippur?
Sukkah.
He built a sukkah. Remember? And what's the Shekhah? It's the Shekhinah, remember? Remember the whole Shekhinah, the whole desert experience? The holidays are beautiful when you understand where they're coming from. One word about the word kapara. Wait, I was about to tell you something. We did the Mishkan part, I'm missing something. Oh yeah, look in your Chumash. It's not on the source sheet, but you have to see this. Look in your Chumash in Perek Lamed Aleph, in chapter 34, verse 29. This is over time. 5:14, Shvi, yeah. Moshe comes down the mountain with the second law. How do we know? Look in Pasuk Chavtet. What, page 5:14? Yeah. Moshe comes down with the second luchot. And what happened to him? Remember he grew horns? Who remembers Moshe had horns?
Michael,
remember that? That's a mistranslation, isn't it? It wasn't horns. What was it? His face was. Isn't that Pasuk Chavtet? Moshe comes down, and what is he? He's beaming. His face is beaming. Kikran or Panav. He's beaming so much a lot that people were afraid of him. And he came down, and what happened? He breaks the ice with him, don't worry. And they come, and he teaches them the laws. He comes down. Now, there's a great song we sing on Yom Kippur, on Yom Kippur Davening and Musaf. What's like the famous song?
Mari Kohen.
Remember Mari Kohen? What's it all about?
Oh.
That when the Kohen Gadol left the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur, what was? His face was beaming, wasn't it? Because why? He achieved forgiveness. Don't you see what that is? We're putting on a play. And that nice, but I want you to appreciate what Seder Avodah is, what we do on Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol going into the Kodesh Kodesh, the Holy of Holies, the whole ceremony there, we're reenacting the second Luchot. Don't you see what's happening? It's symbolic, but it's so symbolic. Because remember, the Kohen Gadol coming out is Moshe Rabbeinu coming down from, you can't miss that. That's for sure the song. That's exactly Mari Kohen. What day was it? On Yom Kippur. What did Moshe just get? Forgiveness. Now, where do we keep the symbol? Where do we keep the contract? Where's our archive where we keep the contract of the second Luchot?
In the
Holy of Holies. You follow? Now, are we deserving of that? It's the contract, that's our new special relationship. Are we deserving of that? Midat Adin, do we deserve to go in?
Okay.
If someone not deserving enters, ask Esther. If someone undeserving enters the throne of the king, right? He deserves to die, right? But you have to go in. But you can't go in. But you have to go in. You understand why we have to go in? What doesn't the Kohen Gadol represent the Jewish people? Look at his uniform. And when he's outdoors, remember? He's got all the names of the tribes on him. He's our representative. Remember Hinei Nimani Mimas? The Shliach Tzibur is a... Remember Hinei Nimani Mimas? What the Chazan says before he starts davening? I'm the Shliach Tzibur of the people. I'm coming to you. Now, he's entering representing the Jewish people. Coming. The Mishkan is a mini Har Sinai. That's for sure. That's the Ramban. Now, the Mishkan is a model of Har Sinai. That's too complicated, but it's explainable. That's our stage. But that's the Mishkan. And the Kohen Gadol going into the Kodesh Kodeshim, the Holy of Holies, is Moshe Rabbeinu going up to Mount Sinai. Now, can he just go in or not? Because what will happen if he goes in? What should happen to him? He'll die. What do you need? What's a fireman need? He's got to go into a burning building. But he can't. But he's got to.
But he can't. So what's he have to do?
He's got to put on a protective suit. Doesn't he? A fire suit, right? No, you know what that protective cover is called? In Hebrew? Kapara. Kapara. You know what kapara means? That's the word kapara. Kapara is protection. Want the proof? Look at the next source. Okay? Back to Noah's Ark again. You don't realize how awesome the story of the flood is. When Noah makes the flood with the ark, what's God's commandment to Noah? Make a flood. What's going to protect the teva from sinking, from getting waterlogged? What's it say? Aser teva that's a gopher. The chapar toto bibaitu michutzba kofer. What's kofer? It's pitch. It's a protective cover. Kofer, right? Kfor in Hebrew is frost because it covers the ground. The man never covered the ground. Tak kfor al haaretz. All the sources are there. Now, what protects? What, our contract, what's protecting it? In our archive, remember? What's the contract staying in? In the Aron Kodesh. What protects it? What covers the Aron? The Kaporet. Because it protects it. What's on the Kaporet? Kruvim. What are Kruvim? Is there a story about Kruvim in the Bible before the Mishkan? You bet. Aren't there Kruvim in the Bible?
Yeah.
Before the story of the flood even. What are they doing, the Kruvim?
They're guarding Buckingham Palace. They're not guarding Buckingham Palace. They're guarding Gan Eden. Right? Because who can enter Gan Eden? Only if you're worthy. Because when you're not worthy, you get the bump. You get the bump. And therefore, the Kruvim protect the Shekhinah from an intruder. Now, what replaces the Eitz HaChaim? Eitz HaChaim Yil Machazikim Ba. What do we sing when we bring the Torah back to the Aron? Remember? Eitz HaChaim Yil Machazikim Ba. You follow? That was the way that we return to Gan Eden. It's through the Torah. But what protects the Shekhinah from someone unworthy getting so close to God? The Kruvim. You have to get past the Kruvim. What do you need to do? You need to do something symbolic. And that's, remember the blood, the Korban? Now, what animal do we shecht to protect us? We take two animals inside. What do we want to do to show God that we learned from our mistakes? We need to do something symbolic. God doesn't need to eat. We need to do something symbolic. If you know your Chumash, every story in Bereshit explains everything that's going on. Don't you realize that? We need symbolic of the Kohen Gadol who's going in. Why is he undeserving to go in? Remember because of Chet HaEgel? So he brings the par. He brings the calf, right? But on behalf of the Jewish people, what do we need to bring to show God we learned from our mistakes? Oh. We made a terrible mistake, but we learned from our mistakes and we have remorse and we learned our lesson. What animal do we shecht?
Lions. Two lions.
What? Actually, we do two of them. One inside and one.
Lions.
Not lions. No, what do they call them in Hebrew? Sir Izim. Remember, it's always a Sir Izim l'chata. Whenever the nation of Israel brings a chata, a sin offering, it's always a Sir Izim. Where's their story in Sefer Bereshit about a Sir Izim? It has to do with the sin. There's a whole musical about it, isn't there? What's the story? Don't you realize how important that story is? Yosef and his brothers, remember? Is that collective sin? Yes. Is that people thinking they're doing something great and they're doing something terrible? All in the name of God? Who wants this guy in our family? Is that, remember? And remember they kill him? And there's remember, you know the story, right? No. As the story goes on, God teaches them a lesson. Oh my gosh, what mistake we made. And they do tshuva. It's all about repentance. And Avah Shemim, it's a whole story of tshuva and understanding and looking at God talking to you through all these events, and resolving it and making peace afterwards. And, you know, it's a beautiful story, isn't it? It's all about tshuva. But what do we do to remember that story? What animal do we always shecht? Sirizim al-Khatat. Understand? And with that memory, I can enter this. If we learn the message of the story of Yosef and his brothers, what's that enable us to do? Then we're worthy as a nation if we can be together again and resolve that sinat achim. Then we can go back to the Kodesh Kodeshim. One last thing you remember from that? What do we say right after Mari Cohen in the Machzor? Right after Mari, what do we sing? What piyut do we do? Right after Mari Cohen. That's the high. What's right afterwards? What? What story do we talk about? For Eiles Korah, which is the story of what? About the 10 martyrs? How's that story begin? With what? With Yosef and his brothers. And what's God say? You deserve to be killed because of what you did wrong. Let's see what's going on. There's so much depth in our liturgy. You come on? But if you don't know your chumash, you can't begin to appreciate how good it is and how deep it, how meaningful it is. Now, we don't have a mikdash today, but we have a machzor instead. And when you understand the sources of everything we're saying, the service is so meaningful if you have what's called, not just kavana, but that's why the idea of havana. So we just touched the surface of it, but I hope I tried to understand today is how the 13 midot, when we talk about these attributes of yes, he can, not yes, he will, when you understand what they're about, and you understand the beautiful relationship of the nation eternally representing God, and the need in the written word. Remember, you understand the contract has to be written what it should be. But then there's the oral declaration, but even though it says this, it's really that. Like every teacher, remember? In class, I'm demanding, demanding, but in reality, you can be forgiving. It's such a true human relationship. And what's God tell us all the time? If you treat one another that way, I'll treat you that way. You follow? If you're forgiving to one another, I'll be forgiving to you. You're mean to one another, you're demanding, you deserve to be demanding on other people. But if you're forgiving, if you want to emulate God, then God will be forgiving to you. And that's why our praise of God not only affects how we pray, but also how we act. And how we do tshuva. Okay, we'll stop here. I'll ask for questions, but let's go.
Shakar, thank you very much. Just to share with you that last week, Rabbi Leipzig has begun to teach the students at the new high school over the video by Skype from Israel, and the kids are just being drawn into this methodology of learning, and it's really a pleasure. He was on Skype on Wednesday night, and by Thursday morning, he was here in the community. So it's really a pleasure to have you here with us. And shakar to all of you for coming, and thank you for your time.
Thank you.